and stand up.
Armin, sorry.
Clap off and hello, yeah. Yeah, face this way. Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Clap off. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So turn to Isaiah chapter 53, okay? Isaiah chapter 53, we've been talking about this incredible faith that we have in the gospel. And if you believe the gospel and have heard the gospel, and you believe the gospel, I'm going to tell you that's something really, really incredible. And I think about that word incredible because incredible has a meaning, and one of the meanings is unbelievable, okay? That's what incredible means. It's just something just unbelievable. And this thought of that also is that incredible means breathtaking, staggering, impossible from a human perspective, extraordinary, miraculous, magnificent. I can keep going on and on and on about our incredible, magnificent faith. And I think sometimes we become so familiar with the word that we've lost the sacredness of our faith in Christ. And what I'm doing over this last week, this week, and next week, because next week we'll be doing Lord's Supper, is looking at the object of our faith and why it is so incredible. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, the scripture says, "Who has believed our message?" Let me ask you a question. Who has believed the message of Christ in this room? Look, yeah, yeah. But let me just tell you, if I were to keep reading what I read in the beginning, Paul would say, but not all believed. Who has believed our message? Not all have believed. And one of the things that you think about, especially in the Northwest, when you think about 23,000 kids and only 4% can identify as believers, chances are they've never heard the gospel of Jesus. So, this next little phrase is, "And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Our message is a great message. These students know that, and so do you, because you've been affected by that message. The question is who's believed it? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord, the gifts of God, who have they been revealed to? And when I think about this incredible message, I move up to verse 7 of 52. And next week we'll go 53 and we'll go forward, okay, as we talk about the suffering servant. But I want you to notice in verse 7 how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. Good news, not bad news, and certainly not fake news. Amen. Good news. And he goes on, he says, who announce peace, who brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Or literally, your God is king. He is king. He's Lord. Matter of fact, we know him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he says, listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together. They will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores and break forth. Shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all nations, that at the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our great God. This is an incredible message. But I want you to first notice who the message is to. You sit in the second row and just kind of like a double meaning sermon. One is a commissioning for these 10 who are heading out, and plus kind of maybe even a recommissioning for our brother and sister, because we've never done this before for you. But it is also a commissioning to the church, to a people who would go from this place with the audacity, with the power of God, with just something new in their mind and heart, that we ourselves are supposed to be on mission. You tracking with me? That the mission is to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. We just don't accept Jesus and don't accept the responsibility of seeing a life multiplied, of seeing a life that reaches out, that makes impact, that makes this incredible difference that we've been talking about. Because we grow up in churches thinking, well, that's just for them. Or that's just for the missionary. Or that's just for the pastor, the staff, the hired holy people to do the work of the ministry. No, this is a commission to all of us. And we are commissioned to a dark and lonely world. Even here, even though 70% of these students would identify with the name of Christ or identify with Christianity, it's a dark place. And when I think about that, I look at the first few verses of 52, because really this is who we go to. This is who we move toward. This is who we speak. And I want you to notice a couple of things that I just get from this passage of Scripture. He says, awake, awake. What's that mean? That means you're either spiritually sleeping or you're spiritually dead. And you need some, they need somebody. We needed somebody. We needed somebody to come along to hear the voice of God so that we would awaken from our sleep. So that we would rise from the dead. And I just suggest to you that this is what this is talking about. Awake, awake. Get up, those who are sleeping. Get up, those who are dead and dying in their sin. And one of the things that you've got to ask yourself, if you're watching online or if you're hearing this message or you're right here, is the question, it's a good question to ask. Am I a dead man and woman? Or am I alive because I heard the voice of God? I might not have heard awake, awake, but when God spoke, God awoke me. Is that a word? Awoke? Woke me. Okay, good. He woke me up. And then look at the next one. He says, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to awake. These people are dead. And then he says, clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come to you. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who are lost and dying, and they're unpresentable to Jesus. I mean, isn't that the point of the gospel? We're unpresentable. He'll tell one of the churches in Revelation chapter 3:17, because you say I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The whole point of the gospel is that he changes our garments from the garments of unrighteousness to the clothes of righteousness and holiness. Amen. You just clap. Thank you. Because we know what it's like to be spiritually naked. We know what it's like to be spiritually embarrassed. We know what it's like to be spiritually dead. But oh, when we get awoken and God clothes us with the robes of righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, there's just something different, because now by the blood of Jesus and by the work of Jesus, we are presentable to our great God. Did you know that you're presentable in Jesus to our great God? Some of you have a hard time believing that. Some of us have a hard time believing that we're presentable. And I want to tell you, if you know Jesus and you're in Christ, you need to get away from that kind of thinking and that kind of lie, because you've been clothed with the robes of righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus. Listen, you go, amen, you go to a place that is spiritually dead, spiritually in the grave. Listen, you go to a place that folks are not presentable to God. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them and that God doesn't have great value to them, but that's the whole point of sin and the sin nature. It's the whole point of the blood of Jesus coming to die for our sins, because we were lost. We were in the pit of destruction. We were unpresentable in our unholiness. And all of a sudden, God has given us this great hope. Anyone in here who say, well, that's me today. That's me. I've been sleeping. I haven't been aware. I haven't really seen Jesus. I really haven't come to life. And my robes are nothing but unrighteousness. And sometimes I think I got it, and sometimes I think because I'm succeeding in these areas. But listen, this church in Revelation chapter 3, Bible says, look, you think because you've got money or because you become wealthy, because you need of nothing, that you don't know something different about your frame of mind and your frame of heart? It's people. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in strength, clothe yourself in beautiful garments. Number two, verse two, shake yourself from the dust and rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. They're dead spiritually. Jesus is saying, awake, awake. They're unpresentable. He's offered the clothes of righteousness. There's people who live absolutely, totally in the dust, who are captive to sin and captive to lies of the enemy. And it goes on and on and on. They've got chains of bonds around their neck. And it may not be sin. It may just be worry. And it may be just fear. And it may be depression. And it may be those kinds of things. But that's who you go to. I want to tell you this. That's where we live in this society. And sometimes our eyes don't see it anymore because that's become so familiar. And we'll walk past 50 people and 10 of them will get on our nerves. And not once will we give them the benefit of the doubt that they're lost and they don't know Jesus. And they act the way they act, or they do what they do, or they say what they say, because they just don't know. And we'll be critical of them, and we'll be judgmental of them, and we'll be angry with them, and we'll do all those things when the one thing that God wants us to do is to have compassion for them. And to wonder, why are they so grieved? Why is there such sorrow in their lives? Why is there such an attitude in them? What's been broken in them? What's been said to them? What are the lies spoken by mother or a father or a grandfather or a grandmother? What are the things done to him? Was it a physical abuse? Was it a sexual abuse? Was it a verbal abuse? What was it in their lives that would cause them to have such an attitude as this? We'll be dealing with this next week when we talk about the suffering servant who died for your wounds, who carried your sorrows, so that we can go to this Lord's Supper and believe with all our heart that in Christ the sorrows are dealt with. Just like guilt and just like the sinful habits of our lives, dealt with, taken away. Yeah, we're all going to go to that. Some of you are educators in here, and you go to the school, and you see it every single day. You see it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You see the lostness. You see people, kids, little ones who are chains around their neck. You see it, and you see the behavior, and you see the fruit. Listen, these are the people around us, spiritually dead, spiritually naked, lives in the dust, captive, chains around their neck. The Bible goes on to say, thus you were sold for nothing, but you'll be redeemed without money. But thus says the Lord God, verse 4, my people went down at first into Egypt to reside there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away? And those who rule over them, they howl. And my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Sold into bondage, oppressed, taken away. A people kept, held captive and ruled by a different word than the word of God. People are lost in your communities. They were lost on your block. They are lost across the pasture. They are lost. Many of our neighbors do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the college students these folks are are going to. These are the college students that they've worked with. These are the college students that they've led to Jesus. Once was lost, but now found, right? Once spiritually naked, but clothed. Look at them now. Look at them now. But let me just say this. Look at you now. The God who saw such great value in you that he saw not these things, but he saw a treasure that he would die for you and die for me in the midst of all this junk that Isaiah is said that God's people have no business being a part of. This is who we go to. That's why our message is so powerful. That's why our message is a message of good news. You've been sold, but this great God has come to redeem you. You've been lost, but this great God has come to find you. You've been spiritually naked and dead, and this great God has come to clothe you and to call you to life. But guess who he uses to do that? People. You and me. Once lost ourselves, but now saved. Once blind, but now we see. Once dead, but now alive. Once walking in darkness, but now in the light. Once unfulfilled, but we got the good news of happiness, folks. And that's what I love about this message. Because, folks, if everybody in the world has it together, there'll never be good news. It's the point of the good news. The good news is that, listen, in all your bad news and all of your stuff and all of your living, I've got good news for you. Do you remember when you heard the good news for yourself? Do you remember? Maybe you were in a dark period. Maybe you were in a dead period. Maybe you were one of these things. Maybe you were held captive. But someone came along and said, hey, I got good news for you. And this is the good news of the gospel. This is the message. Who has believed our message? We have this incredible message of an incredible God who reveals his arm, who reveals his power to these people around us who have no life. It's an incredible message. And I want you to look back at 7 just briefly with me when he says, how lovely on the mountain are the feet of him who bring good news. They bring, and this is the word, the gospel. Did you know in the language of the New Testament, gospel means what? Good news. The gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark and Luke and John, written to different kinds of folks. The good news of Matthew to the Jews. Well, we get that too. The good news of John. Listen, to read Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, and you look at the words of Christ and the life of Christ, it's good news what he says. It's good news. This powerful, incredible message, it is. It's incredible. It's breathtaking. It's staggering. It's impossible from a human perspective. It's extraordinary. It's miraculous. It's magnificent. It's a word. It's a gospel. It's good news. Keep your place here in Isaiah and go to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1, just real briefly. My goal is to get to 3 minutes, and then we're going to set these folks apart. And I don't know if I'm going to reach my goal today. So, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man or the righteous woman, the righteous people shall live by their faith. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not indifferent to it. This good news is the gospel for salvation to everyone who will believe in this great God of ours. And matter of fact, he'll reveal it from faith to faith. And we get to live by that faith with incredible benefits. Let go of that, or keep your finger there, because I'm going to go pretty close to another verse. But the second one is we announce peace. We announce peace. Will you agree with me that peace oftentimes can be the most elusive fruit of the nine? Yeah, the most elusive. How many people do you know, and maybe even yourself, who somewhere down the line the past week or the past 2 weeks lost their peace? Anybody? Oh, yeah, back row. Lost our peace. Fret it. This peace is the reconciliation of a man, of a woman, of a boy and a girl to their God. That's what this peace is. The bad news is that we come into this world sinful, in need of a Savior. The good news is that Jesus, the Savior, died so that he might take the hand of this great God and the hand of you and me and bring us together and then reconcile us. And you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that. It says, listen, you've been reconciled. Romans 5 will go on to say that he reconciled us while we were enemies and ungodly and separated. When we announce peace, we're announcing reconciliation. When these ones, every week, when there is a Tarleton State student giving their lives to Jesus, they're getting reconciled with God. They're making peace with God. But I would tell you this because it doesn't happen unless we have peace brokers. And you're peace brokers. That's what you're called. You're called to bring the peace. You're to bring the reconciliation. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just real briefly. Notice what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. You believe that? You believe that? Olds pass away, all things become new. Matter of fact, the Bible says all things have become new. They're becoming new, and they will continue to become new. And then he says, now all these things, all these new things are from God who reconciled us, who made peace with us. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I think Bible says that when one sinner repents, there's great rejoicing in heaven. You believe that? And you know one of the reasons why he makes you reconcilers? So you can share the same joy. Heard that, didn't you? 2:30 in the morning. Hey, so-and-so's just come to Christ. Hey, will you talk to her? Will you talk to this guy at 2:30 in the morning? Rejoicing. And I'm afraid that most of the church, I'm not saying this local church, but most of the church has lost out of the joy of the Lord because they've not taken their ministry of reconciliation serious. It's a ministry of reconciliation. And then he'll go on and say in this great passage that we are ambassadors for Christ, and then our heart is so deep, we beg people to be reconciled to God. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you thought about begging somebody to be reconciled to God, let alone beg someone to be reconciled to God? When's the last time? When was the last time you were on that mission? Because this is not about a paid job. This is not about a paid ministry. This is not about getting paid so you don't have to do it. This is the reason why it's such a great message and it's got such great power, because really in the grand scheme of the gospel, in the grand scheme of the word of God, this is what we do. We bring good news. We announce peace and reconciliation. Listen, when you think about reconciliation, it's where God brings, literally this is what reconciliation means. To be reconciled, God brings a wonderful change in your life and nature in order to have a relationship with Him. Look it up. The change in your life is so that you can be able to have this holy, thriving relationship with God. That's what reconciliation is. It's the peace of God, and it's the peace of God in your heart, and it's the peace of God as you face situations and circumstances that are hard, that usually brings up chaos, and it usually brings up a fear and worry and anxiety. And I just want you to know that this is what God comes to do. He comes to give you a word to announce peace, but it's the same peace that you have. Listen, notice what else he says in this passage. He says that we bring good news of happiness. And the word happiness in the Old Testament is goodness. It means good, excellent, valuable, better, right, prosperous, gracious. I got good news, and this is good news of excellence and value and righteousness and prosperity and graciousness. And then the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, who announces salvation and says, your God reigns. Let me tell you what salvation is, just from the word salvation. It's being saved, it's being delivered, and it's being rescued. From what? Well, the Bible speaks to a bunch of things, from sin and its power. One day you'll be totally delivered from its presence. It's being saved, delivered, rescued from the pit of destruction to the rock, from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from saved from the lies of the enemy to the truth of God's word. It's where you're pulled from despair, depression, to hope and great joy. It's where you were no longer under the wrath of God. Now you're under the friendship of God. It's where you've been saved from guilt to a clear conscience. You've been saved from self to a whole heart after God. Romans 11:26 says this. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. It says, and then so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer, watch, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he's going to remove all ungodliness from Jacob. That's for you and me too. It's the rescue, it's the salvation, it's the deliverance of our great God. So that when we're in relationship, yeah, he's our father, but he's also our king. Yeah, he's our king, but now he is our father. And we are in the royal family of God. Do you know this today? Do you understand this? Today, as your pastor, I commission you as elders and leadership and staff and church, we commission you with this great message that I know you have already experienced and already know. And we commission you and we set you apart for this kind of message to live and this message to speak. And it's the same thought of just when you go, we believe that people will see the arm of our great God. Because our message is full, it's full of power, and it's full of grace. Why would we not want to utter it to everyone we come into contact? I'm not talking about a Bible thumper who thumps everybody. You've seen those, right? They're awful. I'm talking about people who come with the humility and the grace of God. And by their lives, beg people to be reconciled. And that's my prayer for you. I want you to stand up right now. Would you do that? Not y'all, them. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. And those who are going to be praying. Y'all come on out. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got to do something a little different, okay, today. Okay, I want you to stand right here. Oh. I want you to kind of space here, okay? And just kind of space out. Yeah, space out. Not literally, but just physically. Okay, and then if we were asked, if we asked you to pray for one of these, yeah, just get by, okay? Yeah, so you're going to stand up above. Craig, stand up above. Yeah, okay, yes, good. And I'm going to do that, okay? And we're going to start with Craig. Okay, now, if you want to come lay a hand on one of these, you come on right now, okay? Come on right now. So, hey, and let me just say this. You may be here and you may never have had one relationship, one conversation with one of these kids, but your heart is reaching out to them right now. I want you to get up and come on up and lay a hand on one of these. Would you do that? So today, we set you apart for the work of this assignment, this ministry, this church. We come alongside the BSM that we support and that we love. We come alongside Clayton and Bethany, and we, as your church family, we set you apart. We lay hands on you right now in this place, and we pray that God's grace would go. And I just want to tell you this. I believe with all my heart, I've said this before, through God, they shall do valiantly. Through God, they shall do valiantly. Craig, would you pray?
Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that as a community of faith, we can come together and set these apart to be sent. And God, thank you that you created us to be a sent people. From the very beginning, Lord, your plan for the body, for the community of faith called the church was for us to go proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would just use Morgan in a mighty way. I thank you, Lord, for her life and the family that she's brought up in. I thank you, Lord, that she's the young woman she is today because of a loving parents and sisters, God, in a church that loves her as well. And God, I pray that you would fill her completely with your Spirit and that as she goes, she would go in power. She would go in the strength of your Spirit. And Lord, that that the hand of the enemy would have no place against her. And Lord, I just thank you for the life that she lives, the model that she is for us as she lives out her faith. And I pray God, that you would just use her in amazing ways. We look forward, Lord, to hearing testimony. We look forward to having opportunities to pray with her and to pray for her as she serves and as she follows you, chases hard after you. In Jesus' name.
God, thank you for Daniel and Jordan. Lord, your word tells us, do not grow weary in doing good. And I pray that they would put their hand to the plow. They would not be distracted, and they would never look back, and they would trudge on ahead with you. Being led and guided by your Spirit, would they say yes to all that you would have them put their hand to? Have them be about, whether it be a small part or a big part. Lord, I ask in the strong name of Jesus that they would be led by your Spirit and they might walk out your desires for them, your agendas, your goals by the power of your Spirit. Lord, in their areas of strengths, God, may they serve you mightily. But in their areas of weakness, may they know that your power is perfected in our weakness. And so, God, would they see and know that you are with them in all ways and all things. Protect them from the enemy. Keep them from harm. Let them fulfill all that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for Ashley and just the work there A&M Commerce, and want to pray, Father, that as she goes back, she's looking forward to seeing the freshmen, Lord, and during this rebuilding time, I want to ask, God, that you would that you would allow her to be your hands and feet, Lord, in her speech and in her conduct and in her love and her faith and her purity. Lord, I just ask that she would be an example of what a believer should be, and that this year there would be so many students that their eyes would be open. They would come just to have faith in you. grateful for her work and her compassion for people and her love for you, God. I pray that that would build this year. And Lord, instead of being drained at the end of the year, I pray she'd be energized as a kingdom builder. It's in your name we pray.
Lord, we just thank you so much for Rachel and Garrett. Lord, we thank you for the few years that we had Rachel among us, and we witnessed and enjoyed and participated in the great joy and excitement that she had and has of loving you and serving you. And we thank you for bringing Garrett into her life and joining them together. And we thank you for this great partnership that you've built, Lord. And we just pray as they go to Oregon and they go to an area where there's such darkness and people don't know you, Lord, we thank you that they go as light and they go as salt and they go as your ambassadors and they go to share your love. Lord, we pray for many, many open doors, that you would open the door for the gospel, Lord, that you would lead them to people that need to know you, that want to know you. Lord, that you would grant them favor as they're on that campus, Lord. We pray that that just people would be drawn to them. Lord, we know that they are people that do share love well, Lord. And we pray that people would be drawn to them and they would come to know you. Pray that this campus would be greatly impacted by the gospel through their lives.
Father, we just bring Tyler and Kaylee before your throne this morning, Lord, and we rejoice with them, Lord, in your calling, in choosing them. And Lord, it's my prayer this morning that calling and selection, Lord, would be made sure in their hearts. God, that you would give them firm footsteps, Lord, sure footing on which to move forward. Lord, that when the enemy would come and assail them with doubt over, have I been called? Lord, let this day, let this moment, Lord, stand as a fixture in their heart. And let there be a sureness in their spirit, Lord, of your calling, God. And I pray that you would fill their mouth, Lord, with your word. Lord, that as they stand to minister, that there would be a boldness and a confidence as the Holy Spirit comes upon them at the moment that they need it, Lord. God, and that they would share, Lord, and live their lives as a demonstration of the power of your spirit, Lord. God, fill them with your word, Lord, and let them go forth in power in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you so much for the Bullions today. I thank you for 10 years of fruitful, productive, hard, sometimes really difficult years. And I want to thank you for the fruit that we've experienced at Cottonwood because of this man's ministry. And I ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, that in these days, to the things that you've called him to the greater responsibilities that he's having, that, God, that your spirit would go with him and would empower him like never before. Lord, I pray that he'd not hold on tightly to these things, but that, God, they'd be gifts from you where he just puts them in his hand, open hand, so that, Father, if he wants to take it, you want to take it and do something different with it, he's okay with it. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for his influence. I thank you for Bethany, and I thank you for the wife that she is, the partner that she is to him. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless her in these days. Lord, I know that, Lord, that she's been struggling with some health issues, and we're asking in Jesus' name, join together, that you'd heal her in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for the blessing of God that would come forth from their home today, Lord, as they give their all to you. And then to the things that you've asked them. I pray that you'd continue to equip him so that he might continue to equip others. And Lord, I want to thank you for these freshmen coming up this year. Oh God, what would you do with this freshman class? God, I just want to thank you for those 4 years that are ahead of us. And I ask God that we'd be able to play a part as a church in this endeavor with our brother. We stand with him, Lord, as his church, as his local church, and we just say, we're here, Lord, for support. We're here for resources. We're here as much as we can do, and we stand with our brother today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Okay, I want y'all to stay up here for a moment, okay? Just for a moment. And I want you to stand, okay? And I want you to look at these folks, and y'all look at them, and I want you to raise your hand. I want to say our blessing. And then after the blessing, you come on up and get in on this hugging and praying, okay? And just as God might prompt you, okay? We've got a meal right after here. It's a 25, 50 feet long sandwich, okay? And we want you to come and hear testimonies of what God's been doing this summer in our missional areas for those who've gone on mission, all right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give this great peace, this great reconciliation power to you as you move from this place to be peace brokers for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Y'all fellowship, okay? Y'all fellowship.